Good morning, everyone. Let me get all my screens pulled up as you are pouring in. And get Coach Betsy on stage. So if you are here live with me, Coach Betsy is going to be in the Q&A and she's going to answer questions and then I'm going to answer questions. So if you're wondering what today is Q&A day. If you're brand new to No BS, we do a weekly Q&A with Corinne. Usually starts with me doing a few announcements. Then I transition into teaching a little something, and then we go into questions. So what Coach Betsy does is she will be up in the Q&A answering any questions that are more specific to you, and she will save me some goodies that we can all benefit from. So that will be fun. All right, let's get to some announcements because we got some good ones. Let me pull it up. All right, first and foremost, do not forget, this is a live Q&A call that always goes into the video replays and will always go into your private member podcast. So if you do not watch it live, guess what? It is no big deal. Like 80 to 90% of our members never attend a live training. They always use the replays. And here's why. I want y'all to think about life right now. When we all went through COVID, one of the things that we learned is that we like convenience. You know, when we couldn't go shopping, many of us became Instacart and Shipt addicts. We were ordering the Amazon all the time. Life, I think we all have a greater appreciation for our time now. At least I do. And I think that a lot of us are in that boat. So one of the things that we try to do here at No BS is just make everything as convenient as possible for you. I don't want you spending your life like, I don't want you wasting your time dieting for the rest of your life. And I don't want you wasting your time in No BS either. So we try to make sure that we are meeting your needs in a variety of ways. Like we put everything into the private member podcast so that you can listen to things on the go, on commutes, while you're doing errands. If you have like household things you need to get done. I listen. In fact, I still have my earbud in. I just noticed I still have my earbud in. When I get ready, I listen to podcasts. I listen to all the trainings. Like I belong to my own memberships that help me grow as a person, that help me with my business, that help me with relationships and stuff. And so I listen to those trainings all the time when I'm showering, when I'm walking, when I'm getting ready. If I'm just making my dinner, if I'm just heating things up, a lot of times I'll listen to a podcast, even in the 2 to 3 minutes that I'm waiting on the microwave to finish. So I want all of you to realize that we do our best to try to keep things convenient. And that means that you need to make it convenient for you. I'm never going to waste your time in No BS. I am never going to give you anything that I don't think could have a significant impact on your weight loss. But I also need you to go through everything and decide, does this apply to me? If it doesn't, let me move on to some content that does. So you're never, I know we put out a lot of content, you're never expected to do it all, ever. There's parts of our content I would never listen to because I don't have those struggles. I don't work on those things. Like our binging resources, I've never been a binge eater. I don't need to listen to those. So always remember that everything is designed to be convenient for you so that you're out there living your life that you so badly want. I want to teach you more about how do you take care of yourself in such a way that it allows you to get some of the weight off that might be preventing you from experiencing the life you actually want and deserve. So if you're here live, I love it. If you're not, you can always catch replays. If you're a beginner, you are a newbie who joined in March in our big group. You are on module 2 this week, which is all about thoughts. It's all about journaling. It's all about the mental part. This is what you came here for. There's a song that's on the, so if y'all haven't heard about it, Don't Stop Believing is the only other event we have this year. So we have 2 events this year. And one of them is next weekend, which is Relationships Weekend. And then we won't have another 3-day camp, anything like that one again for an entire year. And then in June, we have our race event, which is a 12-week training program. We do a virtual in-person experience. And there is a song on the it's called the Don't Stop Believing Race playlist. So if you sign up for Don't Stop Believing, you'll get access to this playlist. And it's called This Is What You Came For. Yeah, by Calvin Harris and Rihanna. So like, it just reminds me of that. It's like, y'all didn't come to No BS to get more meal plans. and to be restricted and to be deprived and to be miserable losing weight. You came here because you're ready to embrace a new life. And you came here because you desperately want to start living a bigger life, because you do not want food to be your mortal enemy. You're tired of not trusting your body. You're tired of not trusting yourself around food. And the mental work is everything. So module two is where newbies are at this week. I highly recommend that if you haven't done your module two work at all yet this week, and you're listening to this call, push stop. Don't listen to this call. Go and do the No BS course. It is your best resource for everything else to make sense. All right. And just don't forget that tomorrow morning at, today is March 16th, on March 17th at 10 a.m. If you are interested in Don't Stop Believing or the Relationships Camp Weekend, because it's not too late to sign up for Camp Relationships Weekend, whether you want to come in person or you want to come virtually, you still can come. I'm doing a special call tomorrow at 10 a.m. where I'm going to talk about which one's right for you. Should you do one? Should you do both? Like, what are your questions? And I'm going to talk all about that tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So if you want to join me, and we will talk about all the things, and I'll answer all the questions for anybody who's sitting on the fence, not sure if, because they're new, if they should do this. All right. For all of our current members, don't forget, you are going through the self-love course, and all the calls this month are us teaching you how to love the process of losing weight. So it's like, how do you love yourself and how do you love the process? We're taking a little different spin on self-love. And then that means that this Saturday at 10 a.m., Coach Julie is going to be taking everybody through a journaling 101. So it's called an implementation call, where you will do some journaling with Coach Julie, and she will talk about how do you like open your mind up to journaling? How do you love the process of journaling? How do you go from being someone right now who may not like journaling to being someone who does want to, who like actually enjoys it, who gets a lot of benefit out of it. All right. The member celebration, we had 16 members join Queen's Club this week. Woo-woo. If you don't know what Queen's Club is, you can go to the main homepage menu and you can click Planner Plus My Extras, and you will see the Queen's Club there. You can go read all about it. All you got to do is donate 25 pounds to Corinne. And I'm not talking like Euro cash. I'm talking 25 pounds off your body. If you've lost 25 pounds with the podcast or since you joined NoBS, you're in, and you get special calls with me. You get a special Facebook group and all the things. Melissa is one of our new ones. And she said, I've been a NoBS woman for 3 years this April, and I am a badass. I love my body. I love the process. And I love the women who help push me to do the work in this group. With 55 pounds to go, I can say that I'm 1,000%, not even 100. Sure, I will be a NoBS success story, and I will see you at camp. That's awesome. Congratulations, Melissa. All right, so today what I want to do is, while we wait on questions from y'all, so if you have questions, you can go ahead and put them in the Q&A. I want to talk about unnecessary suffering and how we're going to put an end to it. So what is unnecessary suffering? Unnecessary suffering is bullshit extra thinking that we put on top of ourselves. It's the stuff that we need to just be like, that shit's a no. Like, I don't need to dig around. I don't need to know why I think that. I this is just the dead stop. I don't talk to myself like this anymore. Here's a couple of ways that bullshit extra thinking comes up. So let me get me trusty flip chart out for y'all. I did not just toot. That was my chair arm thing that sounded like a big toot. All right. So, you know how we have the think, feel, do cycle? And if you're brand new to NoBS, that's module two. So if you're like, what the fuck's a TFD? Here's what I know. You ain't done module two yet. So if that's not making any sense, this is why I say, get your ass through NoBS, the weight loss course, because you will see think, feel, do cycle, TFD, all over the place. It's in your planner. It's everywhere. So it's kind of the backbone of what we do. One, a short way to think about it is, you're going to have thoughts. So let's say that you have a shitty thought about, like, I'm not good at losing weight, or I've never been able to lose weight. Let's say that you've uncovered that thought. Unnecessary suffering. So I'm going to put this up here. We're going to treat like hearing a thought. It does not mean, like, if I've never been able to lose weight and keep it off. Let's do the queen ding dong of all the thoughts. I've never been able to lose weight and keep it off. All right. That thought is not a fact. Okay. It is just a thought. But when you start listening to your thinking, you're going to hear a lot of old shitties like this. So I'll even draw a little old shitty. He's always very happy. Let's get you in here. We want to make sure old shitty can be seen. All right. So you start noticing your thinking. This is the tragic mistake most of us make when we're trying to figure out how to think better, how to feel better, how to take control over our mind. We hear this, and it's now just like a fact that we heard it. And we think this, I'm fucked up. I'm broken. Something is wrong with me. That is unnecessary suffering. I am going to tell all of you for the millionth time, none of your thinking means you're broken. None of your thinking is bad. None of your thinking is a problem. It is just your thinking. Now, sometimes it comes in fast and you feel bad and you eat your face off, but it's still not a problem until you have a thought like, that fucks me up. That's a problem. I'm broken. It's terrible. When you think those things, you feel terrible. Poopy. And a whole host of things that you would prefer not to feel. This is unnecessary suffering, because when you're judging your thinking, when you're judging what comes up for you, guess what happens? Your due line gets hosed big time. When you feel terrible about your planning, when you feel terrible about your thinking, guess what you do? Avoid listening. Eat more. A lot of times we stop journaling because we think if we do these things, we don't have to feel bad. When the easiest solution is to be like, oh yeah, I'm not fucked up. I just want to figure out how can I change the thought I've never been able to lose weight and keep it off. Maybe what I need to do is, rather than thinking I'm fucked up, say, and that's something that I've thought for a long time. I am learning something else. I can reach out for help when I have these thoughts. Anything like that is a level up and a step in the right direction from I'm fucked up, I'm broken. This is unnecessary suffering. We do not need to dig around for this one. You do not need to be like, why am I so broken? Let me go journal about my brokenness. We just want to start believing that we're not broken because of our thinking. Now, you may feel broken because of your past, and you want to go back and look at your past. You may want to rewrite it. You may want to, get a coach to help work through it. Like, if you want to hire one of our private coaches to work through some stuff that you just can't let go from your past, that's great. But in general, we can feel a lot better by being very alert to no longer judging our thinking. The next thing that like comes up a lot when it comes to unnecessary suffering, and we will do a lot of this in Relationship Camps Weekend. In fact, this morning I was doing my whole shoulds inventory, is listening to when you are using the word should and shouldn't. Should and shouldn't is a huge red flag that you're going to feel like shit. Shouldn't should, like, I should be doing this. I should be further along. I shouldn't think these things. I shouldn't act this way. I should love my kids more. The scale should move more. All of that will always feel disempowering. It will always feel tight, constrained. It will feel punitive. You want to listen for should. And you want to challenge yourself. What else could I think? Instead of I should be eating better, you could think eating better is something I'm learning. Instead of the scale should be moving, just thinking this is what the scale is today. I can look at my habits to figure out how to move it. I can reach out for help. All of that feels lighter. It feels directional, focused. It feels empowering. It feels like you have some control. So that's another way that we do unnecessary suffering. Another way that we do unnecessary. So we've got judging ourselves for our thinking. We have our should and shouldn'ts that we try to live by. And if you are using should and shouldn't a lot, you will get a ton of help at camp. Here's the other way we do it. Worrying. Worry never solves anything. Worry is always a hoser. So one of the things that we do in No BS is we try to teach you that when you are worrying, you want to do a worry inventory. A worry inventory is very simple. You want to list all of your current worries. So you literally just make a list of all your worries. Write them down. Don't be afraid of them. Getting them out into the open is going to give you information. It's going to give you clarity as to why you feel so bad. It's going to give you clarity for your anxiousness. I did this work myself this morning. I have several things going on right now in my life, and I am literally waking up with overwhelm and anxiety every day. I have been working with a couple of coaches this week who do somatic coaching, which if you don't know what that is, it's where you sit and you describe the emotion, you name it, you have a conversation with it, you try to figure out what is this emotion trying to tell you. You basically befriend an emotion that is not settling well in your body. So I have been befriending anxiety. And I would like for you to know I have two anxiety friends. One is called Spray because it reminds me of the coil on a dishwasher spray. Like when you're at your, you know, at your sink and you pull out the thing, you're going to spray your dishes. You know that like gray thing? That's what feels like it's wrapped around my throat these days. It feels like it's that coil, like it's coiled and bound. So I've just been calling it Spray because it needed a name. The other is a gray cinder block. Because I've been waking up feeling like I have a gray cinder block on my chest each morning and I'm trying to breathe and go about my day. So I've got the cinder block that I talk to. And I tell you all this because I've got a lot of worries going on. So I have been doing some work where I talk to this stuff. And this morning I journaled to my cinder block. And I was like, what are you trying to tell me today? What is it that's got you worried? So it's like I'm talking to the feeling rather than just being with the feeling. So well, I'm being with it, but I'm not like absorbed by it. So I listed all my worries out. Then here's what I did. What's in my control? So next to each one, I just wrote down of these worries, what are the things that I have some control over? And then what's not? I highlighted the things that weren't in my control. I wrote like, here's some stuff about this guy over here that's in my control, but here are the things I can't control. I just separate them out because here's where unnecessary suffering kicks in. What's not in your control, you thinking about it doesn't do anything other than make you feel bad. That's it. And when I have it sorted out into what is in my control and what's not in my control, I now have a mental checklist of when the thoughts come in that I have no control over, I know that I can just swipe them out of the way. I can just tell myself, it's just not useful spending time here. And if it takes 30,000 times a day to swipe it out, I just swipe it out. I'm just like, I would rather go to bed tired tonight from swiping my brain and telling myself what's not useful to think about so that my brain has 30,000 reps of being told what's not useful so that it can learn. We're not going to spend a lot of time here because your brain will learn over time. Well, if you're not going to spend a lot of time there, I guess I'll just quit sending that one up. But it takes a while. And I'd rather go to bed tired training my brain on what to think about and what not to think about than to go to bed tired because I wore myself out emotionally all day with anxiety and worry. If I'm going to bed tired, I at least want to go to, I want to choose the hard during the day that's going to give me the best result at the end. And I just choose to train my brain. My brain doesn't know better. My cinder block, when it's talking to me, it does not know reality. It's a cinder block. Corinne knows the reality. It's Corinne's job to go through and help my cinder block and help Spray figure some shit out. Cinder block and Spray, those feelings of anxiety and overwhelm, you know what their job is? To let me know there's shit going on in my brain that I need to sort through. It's not their job to sort it out. That's my job. Their job is to let me know something's going on. And when I think of it that way, I release unnecessary suffering that my feelings are bad and that they have no purpose. I start applying purpose to them. I start letting these feelings of anxiety and overwhelm help me navigate my life in a better way. Rather than thinking, I can't navigate my life when anxiety and overwhelm come up. It's like, sure, I can. I do it all the time. I'm just now teaching myself to do it more effectively. If you're listening to this call, you have been anxious, you have been overwhelmed, and you have had a negative emotion that at some point ended, at some point went away, at some point you figured out how to keep going with your life. You may have felt like shit. You may have talked to yourself like shit. You may have missed some deadlines, whatever, but you still figured out how to keep moving forward. And I always tell myself, no feeling ever stops me. I just got to figure out how long I'm going to entertain the idea that it's going to be here without me working with it. How long I'm going to just fight it. How long am I going to try to outrun it? How long am I going to try to outeat it? How long am I going to hide from it? When I stop all that unnecessary suffering, then I work with it. And I ask it, what are you trying to tell me? I know you have a purpose. What could it be? And then the last thing is I can't. Here's the last way that we do unnecessary suffering. Listen for when you say, I can't. I can't is never true. It may feel true, but it's not a dead end unless you keep thinking I can't. Always ask yourself, but what can I do? So if you think I can't lose weight, it's just not true. If somebody threw you on an island with no food, you'd lose weight. So it's not that you can't. It's not that your body's so broken it can't. It's I haven't figured out yet what's going to work. So what can I do today to figure out something? So always look at your I can'ts. What are you choosing to believe about yourself over and over again? Because you're not interrupting those thoughts. So for my newbies in particular, as you're going through module 2, and for all of my Nobius women, I want you to start thinking about your unnecessary suffering. If all of you got like 50% good, not even 100%, let's just say like half-assed, cut out
all of your I can't thinking and turned it into, but what could I do? If you noticed when you're worrying, you did a worry inventory and allowed yourself to swipe away things that you have no control over. If you turned your I should and shouldn't into things that you can be doing, if you reframe them in a way of like, I get to, I choose to, I don't have to do anything, but sometimes I choose to, and you stopped judging your thinking, I want you to think about how much better you would feel each day without having to change anything in the world. Nothing about your weight, nothing about your partners, nothing about your jobs, nothing about your children. Think of the emotional burdens that would be lifted simply from those four things. All right. That's what I wanted to talk about today because I think it's important. And I don't think we can talk about that stuff enough. Like, I know y'all hear me talk about a lot of things over and over and over again, but I swear to God, like, you need to hear it over and over and over again because I catch y'all on my calls talking about your shoulds, talking about your worries, telling me what you can't do. This is the power of journaling. So when you're journaling, if you don't know what to write each day, here's what I advise you to do. Is there anywhere in my life that I feel like I can't do something? What are those things? Then challenge those things. Is that really true? I mean, really, really true, as my friend Judith Catan always says. Take anything that you, like, your first knee-jerk reaction will be that you know it's true. But like, is it really, really true? Can you poke holes in your own theories? That's being the scientist of your brain. If you don't know what, like, think about, what are you worried about these days? Is it work deadlines? Is it something small, the weather? If you'll have a good time on vacation, even little things like that. Think about the little things that you think. Open the door to how, like, huh, if I could change my opinion about something so small and feel better, I wonder what would happen if I listen more to my own brain and find bigger things that I could change my opinion on and feel a lot better. So that's how you fall in love with the process of doing thought work, is by giving yourself some wins, giving yourself some stuff that starts helping you feel better. That's how we do it. All right, let's see what questions we have. Can you talk more about the power of journaling for helping with overeating and drinking? This is the level up I am working on. Right now, I just make a box on the assessment page and journal a bit about that each day. Proud of myself for making that work. Could you get a little bit more specific, Sheila? Can you talk about the power of journaling for helping with overeating and drinking? Yeah, it's like asking yourself. So here's one of the things. You can, like, if you want to journal about your overeats, one thing you could do is you could do kind of like what I do with the cinder block. You can look at, like, I know this is going to seem crazy, but if all of you would just give me give me some grace here. I'm not trained in the somatic, but I think this would work for a lot of you. Just put your hands on your lap and take a deep breath and think about your last overeat and what you overate. And then just, like, we're going to do this super quick, but get into the space of, like, really looking at that food. So for me, the last overeat I had was, Pop chips. I know that's going to be a shock to everyone that it was the pop chips, but y'all know me. I love pop chips. I love popcorners. And I have to work on making sure that I stop. And I say that in a way that, like, gives me some awareness. I don't do it in a self-loathing way. If have to's upset you, they don't upset me in certain cases, then say, I know this is where my next best work will be. So we'll go with that thought. I know my next best work will be eating pop chips with more mindfulness, slowly, and eating them more often so that I can practice it. Because I probably don't eat them often enough to hear all the thinking that I have that goes on around them. So we're going to look at the pop chips. You're going to look at whatever it is you eat, Oreos, Cheetos, ding dongs, whatever it is. And you're just simply going to, like, close your eyes and you're just going to, like, visualize it and ask yourself, what is it that you were providing me? Like, why were you here? What were you helping me with? What were you allowing me to do? And you literally have a conversation with it. It's like you're interviewing your food. You're interviewing your drinks. You're basically sitting there interviewing it. And then do that before you write to kind of just get into the space and have the visual. Then open your eyes. And whatever you were thinking, start writing it down. Because that right there will help you get to the crux of what's going on. So like for me, pop chips, I'm going to guarantee you the last time that when I was overeating them, it was relaxation. I was like, the pop chips were like, you were really enjoying me and you don't get to enjoy a lot of your life these days. Right now you've been so busy and I just wanted to give you a break. So when we do that, one, we de-villainize our food and we de-villainize the things that are going on, but it allows that thing to have a voice because inside it actually does have a voice. That is why it's there. That is why we choose things. So even just doing that could really help you with that. Doing the discovery worksheet this morning for an off-plan eat, I did unconsciously because I didn't think about it. Having trouble making the discovery worksheet helpful, thoughts or tips? Yeah. So like when you do if you don't know what you were thinking, then just it, you probably were just thinking that looks good. I want some of that. Even unconscious stuff, just because it's not conscious to us what we were actually thinking, was always some type of conscious decision. It's just turned down so low, we can't hear it. So in these cases, I always just say, take your best guess as to what was going on. If you don't know exactly what you were thinking, like think about your day and think about like, all right, I might not know what I was thinking in the moment, but if I look at my whole day, why do I think, or just ask yourself, why do I think I'm still unconsciously eating? Do I not have enough pauses? Am I not doing enough writing in the morning about when I'm eating to like really describe what happens? So for a lot of you, what happens if you're doing unconscious eating, you need to put up speed bumps. So you've got to figure out environmental cues that will slow you down. It could be setting alarms on your phone. It could be putting food on different shelves just so you have to go look for it harder so that you have to think before you eat it. A lot of times, I know this sounds crazy, rearranging your pantry, sometimes it's just enough because if it's not where you automatically go and grab it, you have to like look for it and you might hear more thinking. So even doing some of that stuff will be helpful. Setting like agreeing that you will not eat unless you eat at a certain place for a while, like maybe for a week, just to get you out of like, if, like especially a lot of times we're very unconscious, like setting, like I've heard of members, they normally have like their eating chair or their eating couch. And rather than it just being free and empty to be able to do it, they set like books or something they would not want to sit on, like a glass or something like that in their normal eating chair so that when they go and they see it and they know they have to move the thing, they also are like, oh, that's my trigger to make sure that I'm not eating unconsciously. What am I thinking right now? What's going on in my head? Why am I like, if I said I wasn't going to eat in my eating chair anymore, like setting up some just environmental, like, tripwires is usually helpful. I've experienced my first slight gain on the scale since starting the challenge on February 27th. That was our free challenge for anybody who's wondering. And then joining a few days later. I haven't had any overeats. I'm doing my 24-hour plans, eating when hungry, supplement enough, journaling. In other words, I'm doing all the things. I lost 4 pounds initially and another 3 the second week. I expected a plateau while my body catches up with my actions, which seems to be what I do. But it always makes me pause and question myself. I guess my question is this a normal thing for other no BS women? It's called a normal thing if you have a heart, lungs, skin, and breath and a brain in your body. It's called human. All of you, you're not going to lose weight in a straight line. It goes like this, always and forever. Welcome to being a human. Like you did the right thing, Michelle. Now you're just giving you like you're very uncertain. I just want you to tell yourself, I did the right thing. I noticed that this week I didn't lose anything. I had a slight gain. I went back, I looked at my habit tracker because my habit tracker will alert me to anything I need to change. Looks like I did all the things I said I would do. Check. I can be very proud of that. I'm going to do this for another week. Let's see what happens on the scale. And if you don't lose after 2 weeks of doing all the things, that's an indicator now to like, and I wouldn't change anything unless the scale didn't move for 2 to 3 weeks. If you're doing all the things, hear me when I say this. If you're having overeats, if you're still eating past enough and you're eating when you aren't hungry, that is not a stall or a plateau. That's your ass needing to fix your overeats. You don't switch up foods and you don't switch up things. You get more consistent with the hunger and the enoughness. But Michelle, let's say you're doing all the things. I wouldn't switch things up until 2 to 3 weeks of doing those things simply because your body may be just catching up, especially because you had 2 really big losses. So it makes sense that your body is like stabilizing and normalizing. A lot of times y'all want to change things a little too early when you can get more traction with the same things you've been doing. So give it 2 to 3 weeks, be more focused on your habits, not on what the scale is doing. And if after 2 to 3 weeks, the scale doesn't move, then you look at it and say like, okay, is it time to level up a little bit? Maybe I'll leave a little bit more food behind. Maybe I will change out a couple of foods. Maybe I'm going to try adding a few better and best foods this week. I'll just swap a couple things out. Is there anything on here that I'm at a point that I could do without and I won't miss it that much? I don't have to cut it out forever, but like sometimes I've heard of people in the membership, and I kind of did this when I was losing weight. Like I'll give you a good example. I was planning ice cream every single day. After I lost a little weight, after I was feeling a little better, I realized when I started feeling better and thinking better, I didn't need ice cream every night anymore. And I was eating it every night without even questioning, did I actually want it or need it? I was more in the habit of having it. And so then I was like, well, I really want to see the scale move this week. So I think what I'll do is I'll try having ice cream 4 nights this week, try 2 or 3 nights without it and see what happens. That's being curious. That's thinking about what you can do. That is like getting into that mindset of being empowered behind your decisions. I am still struggling with finding things I like about myself and things I did right today on the plan and assessment. I could use some guidance on how to get past the mental block, really work in the self-love course, but it feels fake to me. It will feel fake. Y'all, if you've been telling some shitty ass story about yourself for the majority of your life, guess what? Just because you do a few journal prompts, let's say we're on day 16, for 16 days, you've been working on self-love. I'm like, fuck, what do you expect? I love myself. It all changed. Good Lord. I'm going to tell all of y'all right now. If I was that fucking good, I'd be on Oprah. I'd be making the circuits for all of the gurus would come to me. Deepak, Tony, all of them would be like, Corinne, you are now the guru. Teach us your ways. I ain't going to fix your self-concept in 16 days and you ain't either. It's supposed to feel fake. But that's good. I would much rather you be telling yourself stuff right now that feels fake than to be beating yourself up and being like, and that's true. Just because it feels true doesn't make it useful. Doesn't make it helpful. Doesn't mean you should keep doing it. Doesn't mean that you should take your foot off the gas of all this other shit. Whatever feels fake, keep doing it. Don't stop. That's all I got to say on that. Like, seriously. So one thing you can do is after this month, Anonymous, if you haven't taken Thoughts 2.0, finish out the self-love course. Just finish it. Then next month, take Thoughts 2.0. We have some lessons in there on how to just turn the dial a little bit in the direction of the thoughts that you want. And that will be super helpful. We've called it thought laddering, leveling up your thoughts. You'll hear it 1,000 different ways. Basically, all we're talking about is how do I have a really shitty thought that I believe and tweak it just enough to where I could believe that, but it's not unicorn land yet. So like if you tell you what, somebody type a thought. If you're the one that asked that one, either type it as anonymous, either type it into the chat right now and tell me one of the thoughts you have about yourself, and I will give you, I'll tell you what, some of y'all just type in some thoughts and I'll try to give you a level up, but like not everybody at once. We're also be working on a lot of this at Relationship Camps weekend. Give me the sentence. I think I can't stop eating chocolate. Well, all right. I want some about you. Like, what do you not believe about you that would be self-loathing? So we'll take Elaine's. I think I can't stop eating chocolate. Your thought could be, I can stop eating chocolate because right now I'm not. Like, that's an easy one. I want you to think about it. Like, we'll say things like, I can't stop eating chocolate. It's like, yeah, you can. It's just that most of the time you eat a bunch of it. And now we just want to get to where we eat a little less. It's not that you can't stop, right? Otherwise, you'd have a chocolate bar in your mouth 24/7. I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't stop. That's like, you know, here's somebody who can't stop doing something. If I've got tremors, I can't stop that. Like if I've got a disease that gives me tremors, no, can't stop the tremors. I can stop self-loathing about it, but I can't stop the tremors. But like when we say we can't stop eating chips or chocolate or whatever, bull fucking shit. Everybody can stop. I guarantee you, if somebody pointed a gun at your fur baby or your child and you're in the middle of some milk duds, your ass would stop if their life was on the line. So it's like we have to like remind ourselves, oh yeah, it's not that I can't stop. There are just times I keep eating it for reasons. One reason is I tell myself a story around the inability to be able to stop. If I quit telling that story, I might find that I can stop. I might be telling myself the story around chocolate that I shouldn't be eating it. Oh, maybe if I change the story around, I can plan it and have it whenever I want. I'll take down my anxiety around chocolate and I won't feel so compulsive when I have it. That's how we level up thoughts. No man will ever love me unless I lose weight. This is a good one. Here's a level up thought. There are men in the world who love women of all sizes. This is true. I had the same thought, Sandy. I had given up on getting married. The last guy I dated, he was a nice guy, but lots of problems. I had been cheated on so many times. I had had so many problems in my teens and 20s with men that I was determined I was never getting married. And I took all their bullshit about them being sleaze bags and whatnot, but I made it all about my weight. It was my fault. I was fat. I couldn't attract good men. And so I had just decided that I would never be able to meet a good man unless I lost weight. Well, enter Chris Crabtree. I was 220 pounds. Best thing that ever happened to me in my life. Just not true. It's literally not true. And this is one of the things you have to remind yourself. My weight is the least interesting part about me. What is interesting about me? Like, I think my weight's very interesting. I focus on my weight. I reject myself because of my weight, but that doesn't mean that other people will too. Like, that's more of the truth. And one of the things we have to get really good at, and we'll talk about this at Relationship Camps weekend too, for all of our single girls, until you're ready to choose yourself, it's going to be really hard to believe anybody else would choose you. And you got to learn how to choose yourself at any size. Because even if you lose weight, you're the same person. So you need to like choose all of you and be strong in who you are. Because one of the things that I did for too long was I made everything like the end all be all about me being worthy was my weight. And I disregarded everything else about me. And I sought out losers because they didn't want to be with me for any other reason than to have sex and be selfish. because I wasn't choosing me. When I didn't choose me, I didn't choose wisely. I didn't listen to red flags. Some of them assholes, I even let them cheat on me. And I would keep going back because I kept telling myself that I was unworthy at my size. And I was wrong. You're probably wrong. I would just assume that you are. There are people out there in the world who are looking for things other than the size of a woman, who care more than the size we are. A lot of us are already married to these people and still rejecting ourselves and rejecting being chosen by somebody else because we're still not choosing ourselves. So even finding, like I did this for a long time with Chris. I had an amazing man that I could feel loved 24/7, but I rejected his love because I was so focused on how I was too big. He deserved better. I don't know why he loves me. And that was all because I wasn't falling in love with me. I was rejecting myself. So we have to learn how to stop rejecting ourselves. That's one of the benefits of the self-love course. It's one of the benefits of being here. If you're rejecting yourself, do relationships camp weekend. Go to ask coaches. Talk about the shit that's coming up for you around loving yourself. But stop waiting for it to feel true first. Expect it to feel fake at first. You've trained yourself really well how to not like you. It's going to take a while to be convinced, but it'll be the best work you ever do is convincing yourself of your worthiness and what's right about you. And y'all, start with the little things. Like on the days I have a hard time accepting myself, like two things I like about Corinne a lot all the time. I have great fingernails. Good fingernails runs in my family. And I even do like the fake shit. And every time they take them off, they're like, good Lord, your nails grow so fast and they stay so hard. Like it's genetic. Blessed with great fingernails. Find something. Maybe it's your willingness to go through hard shit. Maybe it's your willingness to just be a no BS and figure your shit out. What you like about you every day, find things about your body, but if you can't, find things about who you are. And if you don't know those things, ask people around you. Is there anything about me that you like? Because sometimes taking an inventory will shock you. I'm looking for replacements for eating to relax. One of the coaches said she cozies up with a nice robe and a blanket, but that is my normal eating mode, cozied up with a snack or dinner. I'd love to brainstorm some relaxation ideas for when I want to eat in the evenings. I think one of the things first, Joanna, is you have to one of the things I would do is in the morning, ask yourself, what's going to get me so jacked up that I need to relax at night? Try to figure out that first. A lot of times I like to start with the stimulus. That if we're needing to eat at night to numb out, like rather than just trying to find another way to relax, let's figure out why we're like, can we cut down how jacked up we go into the evening to begin with? Because if you can cut down the amount of cortisol and adrenaline and stuff that you're ending your day with, then you have more mental wherewithal to say and we're not eating today. If you like reading, you can always read. I like Netflix. You can always take your nice robe and a blankie, but go somewhere else than where you normally eat. Change your location. Some people like to end the day with a shower just to kind of wash the residue of the day off. There's all kinds of things. What you might want to do, Joanna, is take this over to the Facebook group. If you're in Facebook and ask over there, if not, then what I would do is you could ask in the chat of the live call for ideas and people can. So for those of you who don't belong in the Facebook group, because a lot of you are not Facebook users, you can always go to a live call and ask these questions in the chat to crowdsource ideas. But if you can't get a lot of ideas here, You can always go to Ask Coaches and just ask for more. So Joanna, what you could do is you go back to Ask Coaches and say, that's my normal eating habit. But here's what Corinne told me. She said to make a list of things that I think jack me up during the day, and let's start working on those things. Is there a way to start working on those things? That will be super helpful. For me in the evenings, though, I want to tell you, my evening routine is real simple. We eat dinner, and then it is Netflix time. And I don't feel fucking guilty at all about it. We've been watching NCIS. We are in season 15 now of NCIS. I mean, we have binged watched so many series. It's unreal. But it's fun for me and Chris. The characters become people we talk about and we joke about. And like, we try to figure out, like, you know, like in NCIS, we always have the keywords like bad guy. The second we think we've identified bad guy, because there's always a villain at the end. This is why I like the mindless shows. Like one of us will go like bad guy. And then we see who's right. And we, sometimes we track like for the week, who picked the most bad guys, you know, like stuff like that becomes fun. And it becomes connection time. Sometimes I think what y'all do is a lot of Gibbs. I know, I love Gibbs. Sometimes what y'all do is judge a lot of the ways that you unwind. Judgment-free zone. Remember when I talked about unnecessary suffering? Do not judge how you want to unwind. If you want to unwind with TV, unwind with TV. I used to read smut. For a while, I was reading all kinds of little sexy novels so that I could be a little bit more amorous in the bedroom a couple nights a week. So just whatever it takes, just come up with some ideas on like, what would I like to do? Is there anything I would like to be doing? Is there anything that I could be doing, but I judge myself for? And then ask, like, Joanne, one of the things I would do too is do the exercise I talked about earlier where you sit and close your eyes and talk to eating at night. Just like picture some of your normal food and then talk to it about what is it really doing for you? What's it like what is going on during the day that food is trying to help you with? So then it will give you information about what you can start working on throughout the day, like changing some thinking patterns throughout the day. So you're not having so much desire to need to numb out at night. All right. That's everything. Y'all asked some good questions today. Very thoughty. I love thought work questions. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Time. If you want to join me, you can go to the nobswomen.com. You can go to our training calendar to get the link for tomorrow's call. It's the same as this call. So if you are on this Zoom call, you can come back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Central Time. We will be talking about DSV and camp. Which one is right for me? Should I do both? Should I do one? Tell me all the things. I'll help you get off the fence because time's a ticking. DSB, the training starts in the 1st of April. That's not long from now. And I want to help as many women get into movement. This is not about being fast. This is not about killing yourself or anything like this. This is about more of you appreciating movement, not for weight loss, but to challenge yourself, to lube them joints, to make sure that in your 80s, if you fall, you ain't in the hospital with a broken hip and needing some rehab. You spring your ass back up. Like, I want a lot of you to be like, y'all know, I watched my grandmother not be able to get back out of the floor if she fell down in her 70s. I don't want that for us. So for all of my women, especially my 60s and 70-year-olds who may not be moving, who may never been moving, now is your time. I'm giving you 3 time distances so that I can get as many NoBS women moving at the end of June as possible, because I just believe in it. I think it adds quality of life. I think it gives us a mental break. There's so many good things about it. So I'll be talking about all the things tomorrow. Y'all have an amazing day. Bye, y'all.